Well, anybody getting comfortable in here?
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that we have a quorum yet, but we do have 9 bills before us today. I would very much like to get through them during our regular committee time. We have scheduled the potential to have a meeting this evening if we need it. I don't think we will. I believe most of these bills are not overly controversial, and they're moving on to other committees for the most part, so they'll probably, the issues will be back around again in the future. So I would appreciate your cooperation, but if I don't want to inhibit your discussion either, if you have questions or comments, don't be afraid to make them, but I will be keeping an eye on the clock. I believe we now have a quorum. I will call a meeting of the House Transportation Finance Committee to order. Representative Johnson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to move the minutes from February 16th.
Representative Johnson moves approval of the minutes from February 16th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Minutes are approved. Thank you. Our first bill up today is House File 326. I will move this bill to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Howe, please go ahead and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so we're moving House 326 to go to Ways and Means?
That's what it says on my sheet. Do you have other information, Representative Howe?
No, I do not, Mr. Chair. And House File 326, basically what it does is it names a section of Highway 23 near Painesville as the Kenneth Lee Olson Memorial Highway. Ken Olson was a graduate from Painesville High School. He is noted by one of his teachers as one of his top students. Specialist Olson graduated from the University of Minnesota, was drafted into the Army, deployed to Vietnam, and as he was just shy of his 22nd birthday, him and his unit was, I'm actually losing my Army terminology, believe it or not, but they were to reinforce another unit that had come under Viet Cong fighting. Him and another gentleman attacked and went to a forward position to try and take out a heavy machine gun. He stood up, risking his own life, and lobbed a grenade at the enemy machine gun position. It did not silence the machine gun, so he stood up again a second time to throw a second grenade, was wounded, and subsequently dropped the grenade into their position. He grabbed that grenade, sucked it into his own body because he knew it would kill him and his friend. And both, and he took the full force and died that day, and he saved his fellow comrade. That was May 13th, 1968. In April of 1970, President Nixon presented the Congressional Medal of Honor to Ken's family. Ken Olson was the only graduate of Painesville to receive the Medal of Honor. He is the only graduate of the University of Minnesota to receive the Medal of Honor in the Vietnam War. And that's why we have it here today, Mr. Chair and members, is to dedicate that and honor his service.
Well, thank you, Representative Powell, for that poignant story. And it'll be... hopefully we can get this work done. It seems appropriate. Can you tell me offhand, Representative, how is there a certain section of the highway that's being designated as a memorial?
Yes, Mr. Chair. It actually extends from the town of Painesville through the city of Painesville to the western edge of, the town of Painesville. So that's the stretch of highway that goes through the city of Painesville.
Very good. Any other questions for Representative Howe on House File 326? If not, I will renew my motion that House File 26 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Thank you. Next up, we... I don't think Sarah's here. Steve Green is not here. I'm just working down the list. Representative Lucero. House File 231. So I'll make the motion, and I move that House File 231 be passed and referred to Ways and Means. President Lucero, please introduce your bill for the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is a strong roads bill. It is not a new concept. Corridors of Commerce was first introduced in 2013 and had great success in taking money, dedicating money to those areas around the state that are vitally important for the continued growth and economic vitality of Minnesota to be able to move our transportation, freight, etc. I do have two testifiers with me today. I have Steve Bott, who's the chair of the I-94 Corridor Coalition, which is a broad organization of multiple stakeholders, both public and private entities. And then I have the mayor of the great city of St. Michael, Kevin Castle, with me is here as well. So, Mr. Chair, I will turn it over to Mayor Castle.
Welcome to committee. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation. Pull that right over towards you. That would be fine.
Chair members, I'm Kevin Castle, Mayor of St. Michael. I want to thank you for allowing us to speak today on this bill. As a mayor that's on a corridor of commerce, I'll say it's a benefit for our city, but when not properly funded, it can also be a little bit of a challenge for the city. So we fully endorse this bill and hope you would see it favorably. And with that, I'll give that over to the person to who has all the facts, and that would be Mr. Bott.
Thank you, Mayor Castle. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Torgelson and members. My name is Steve Bott. I'm the City Administrator and Engineer for St. Michael and also the Chair of the I-94 Coalition, which extends from Maple Grove through St. Cloud and on to the Dakotas. Overall, mostly here today to talk with 94 as an example of what the Corridors of Commerce program can be for the state of Minnesota, not just for 94, but for a lot of the important corridors in Minnesota that you hear a lot about, 14, 23, 35, 212, on 10, up and down the whole state. Important corridors that do bring commerce and jobs and financial stability to our great state. You've got in front of you our Unleash the Mobility, which is part of the effort we're trying to put out for 94 to spread the word. But mostly, Corridors of Commerce was first, many of you know, came around a few years ago. Chair Hornstein, I think, was the first one I ever heard the term from, so I appreciate that. We ultimately got the first phase from Rogers to St. Michael through metro area through into District 3 funded with the initial $300 million. Got a bite-sized piece that has had great economic growth. We've had almost 3 million square feet of transportation-based industrial development that's happened along the corridor since the announcement of the project. That's bringing in over $6 million in new taxes to just that immediate project area. The project itself cost about $29 million. So when we talk about return on investment, not just to mention all the commuter time saved, over 2,000 hours saved on that stretch, 55% increase or decrease in time traveled through there during the congested hours. But there's a lot more to go. The second round, as I call it, the $25 million that you allocated help pay $1.4 million for the design of the second phase along 94 to expand from four to six lanes to get from St. Michael up to the Outlet Mall area in Albertville. That project is as shovel-ready as anything you'll see. It's ready to go. It can get constructed this spring, get started, if we get construction funding for it. However, if a program like this doesn't pass, those plans will sit on the shelf, and it will not get done for 20 years per MnDOT's 20-year plan. So we really need, not just for 94, but for all the important corridors along the state routes to be able to have a program like this adequately funded. Bill Goines, unfortunately, was a little bit late getting here, so he's the head of the Freight Advisory Committee. He would be here to testify as well, and I know he'd express his thanks and gratitude, as would I, for having us here, for the chairs and others that have heard our pleas to keep this program going, to fund it this session in any way that you would see fit. And with that, I would stand for any questions you'd have.
Representative Nelson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the testifiers are the representative. I mean, I-94 cuts right through my district, so I represent Broken Park, so it's right through the middle of my district. And although it's not part of this, because this starts in Maple Grove where the split is, and I do support the Corridors Commerce Program, but taking $400 million out of the Trunk Highway Fund, while it would help these projects go forward, you're talking out of the general or the highway fund, that would take money from projects all over the state that would then be pushed farther down on that 20-year pipeline that we're talking about. And so I have concerns about that. I mean, we need to fund, get more money to fund roads, but this is just taking money from one pot, putting it in another pot, and saying we're going to fund these roads, and we're picking winners and losers. But all these other roads that may be in Representative Brzezinski's district, Representative Koznick's district, my district, or any place else in the state aren't going to get funded because we're taking money from the Highway User Trust Fund.
I did not hear a question in there. If you'd like to comment, go ahead.
I can just briefly comment, Mr.
Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We don't see it that way. This is not taking money away from other projects to push them down. The Republicans, and bipartisanly, I should say, we have, led by Chair Torkelson, have a great plan to prioritize roads and bridges all over the state. And this is just one funding mechanism to take those roads that have a higher capacity, that move freight, et cetera. And it's to funnel money towards those projects to bring or continue economic growth, such as was explained by Chair Bott, the Sony project in Albertville. It's a pro-jobs growth, and that's what this is targeted at. So it's not taking money away from others, but instead allowing for an avenue or continuing of an avenue that's pre-existing.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Hornstein, did you have a follow-up, Representative Nelson?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I had a follow-up. And it's just, and maybe it's my history here in the House, and maybe it's what I've seen in the past, but when you take money out of the pot, that means it's not going to be spent there. And unfortunately, road project in my district that was a very dangerous intersection, they called it the Devil's Triangle, that at one point that they needed extra money for another project in the state because they delayed a project on Highway 62 in the metro area. And the exact amount of money for my project that was in my district was what they needed to finish that. And I could agree philosophically, I didn't like it, but I could agree that, yeah, that was a more important project and it needed to get done. But that put my project in. We're taking money from one place, putting it someplace else. And it pushed us down on the list and having to wait longer to get it completed. And at one point they were going to take, when new money became available, the promise was to us that any new money would go to that project. Well, when new money came available, the governor at the time wanted to put us back at the bottom of the list, and we'd have to work way all the way through that 40-year list of priorities again while people were getting killed at this intersection. So this does take money out of the Highway User Trust Fund, which is distributed all over the state for all the road projects. And while these are worthy projects, and I support the Corridors of Commerce, we're still putting other projects behind this one. We're putting this one ahead of everything else. So that's my only comment, sir.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Representative Hornstein, are you going to take credit for conceiving of Corridors of Commerce?
No, not today.
So would you care to reveal the actual idea person?
Well, there were Representative Beard was very involved, and Senator Gimsey was. I kind of was building on their idea, so I don't know if you knew that, Mr. Chair.
I did not know that, Mr. Lead. But who really came up with the title originally?
Well, I did that with a few other people.
Sounds like we need to do a little more research. President Hornstein has a question.
So, well, I will say that when we were working through the first iteration of this in 2013, we had a great meeting at the St. Michael City Hall. And I think that that meeting really pushed this program forward. And so I think the I-90, and I learned a lot, of course, about your community and the challenges that you face, and very pleased that the first round worked for you. And I've always felt that this project scored well with the criteria that we've set out for corridors of commerce. And Mr. Chair, criteria that we really need to revisit and make sure that the legislative auditor's report that addressed corridors of commerce criteria is followed up on. But I have similar concerns as Representative Nelson, because your project scores so high, I think you would do well in the process that we've set up in our competitive process. And I, like you, were disappointed that this was not funded last year. And there were other projects that were funded that, quite frankly, didn't meet basic criteria, were not shovel-ready, did not have a local partner. And so I think the I-94 coalition is a model for how to get things done. And I would just caution about this approach moving forward, because I think we had already always conceived it, Mr. Chair, as, corridors of commerce round one was a down payment, and we needed to get new revenue in order to move this forward. So, I applaud you, and we'll continue to work with you, but I think this approach may not be the best way to go. And we've tremendous pressures on the Trunk Highway Fund, and as Representative Nelson said, if this just becomes kind of a free-for-all with every project in the state, dipping into it, then we're kind of going in the opposite direction of the legislative auditor's suggestion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as a co-author of this bill, I generally support the idea, but the timing is awkward because we don't know about the revenue that we would need in order to make sure that the Highway Trust Fund has this $400 million. Representative Lucero, you alluded to a Republican plan to fund these, to provide that funding. Would you share that with us?
Representative Lucero, have you got your crystal ball out?
And to be more specific, Mr. Chair and Representative Johnson, I was referring to the broad concept that was started last year of redirecting existing revenue to focus on roads and bridges transportation. And so while I do not know what's going to come forth as a final package this year, I highly suspect that it'll be something similar to a redirecting existing revenue to focus on the priorities of roads and bridges, among others.
A follow-up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So am I to understand that if we're going to fund these $400 million for the corridors of commerce, it would depend upon taking $400 million out of the general fund?
Representative Lucero, would you care to answer that carefully?
I am looking forward to the broader conversation of the totality of all of the budgets to see where they come from. So I do not have a definitive answer at this point, but this is a it is definitely an important conversation.
Thank you, Representative Lucero. President Mason has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have had occasion to drive to St. Cloud, and I know how bad it is. But I just want to just ditto some of the other comments. It's coming from the Trunk Highway Fund. I personally would like us to get a really big comprehensive transportation bill out this year. And and I will support the quarters of commerce, but right now I think this is way, maybe it's not the right time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Representative Lucero, any final comments on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I look forward to strong bipartisan support.
With that, I will renew my motion that we pass House File 231 to be referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign.
No.
Bill is passed. We have Representative Swazinski in the room, and so we will proceed to House File 460. I will move are you? Thank you. I've been informed that we'd like to do 479 first, so I will make the motion that House File 479 be referred to the Tax Committee. Representative Kaczynski, please go ahead and introduce your bill.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you to talk about House File 479. This bill has been seen before. We moved it forward 2 years ago, and it essentially extends the existing motor vehicle sales tax exemption for township purchases, which is currently in place, and essentially expands it to cities and counties and other local units of governments, in particular in the purchase of road maintenance vehicles. And so that would be dump trucks and the rest. So when it comes to the reason the genesis behind the idea is, why are we taking vehicles that are purchased locally with local purchase, locally generated tax dollars, and then charging a tax on those vehicles that are particularly focused on repairing our road system? And with that, we have folks from the League of Minnesota Cities, City of Northfield, and the City of Shoreview.
Thank you, Representative. I believe we have an amendment to the bill.
Yes.
I would move the A1 to get the bill on the shake that the author would like it. All those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Gary Carlson. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities. I'm going to turn it over almost immediately here to two of our city testifiers, but I just want to draw your attention to a handout that was in the committee packet today indicating the League's support for House File 479. We think this would be a good use of local resources for our local roads and redirecting that money to stay locally. So with that, I'll turn it over to our two city testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Whoever wants to go first, please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ben Mardick, City Administrator in Northfield, Minnesota. I've worked in a number of greater Minnesota cities, and I can speak to this issue. Besides the kind of looking for fair and equitable treatment, similar to the townships that we're looking for, I think another item is these very maintenance equipment, trucks, vehicles that we acquire are used to fix our local city streets, which is the vast majority of our transportation network locally that we deal with. So those dollars certainly could be used within those systems. We've got a huge need for our local cities in Northfield for improvements, and also the other communities I've worked in. There's certainly a vast amount of need for those as well. So those dollars that currently are being used to put into the state tax system can be used in our local communities that these roads are fixing. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Martig. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Chair Torkelson, members of the committee, my name is Mark Maloney. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Shoreview. I've been employed for the City of Shoreview for 24 years in that capacity. I'd like to distribute for the committee a letter from the president of the City Engineers Association of Minnesota that I will reference, and some of my comments will reflect that. I would also point out that I'm a 30-plus year member of the American Public Works Association Minnesota chapter and a past president of that, and will be speaking also on behalf of our close to 1,000 members in the state of Minnesota. The letter does a very good job of outlining the concern for local governments. As you know, some cities that are large enough receive state gas tax allocation for our collector streets, but the majority of our roadway system is actually locally owned or locally funded, all of aspects of reconstruction and maintenance. And the estimate that's proposed in the letter that approximately $10,000 could be going the state's way every time we purchase a very large snowplow or piece of equipment. I would suggest to the committee here that for $10,000, that same amount of money, if that were applied to my local system, I could do a lot of preventative maintenance with that money. And I think many members of this committee may have heard in past testimony that it's an accurate estimate that every dollar that's used for preventative maintenance measures on roadways saves taxpayers $6 to $7 in the long run. So I submit to you that that money would be very well used on the local systems if it were available to us. It's the primary funding source for maintenance activities and reconstruction activities on 80% of the roadway system that does not qualify for municipal state aid.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. Do we have other? It looks like we have others that would like to testify to this bill. We'll go ahead and take testimony. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Keith Carlson, Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association that consists of 10 greater Minnesota regional center counties and 4 suburban counties here in the metro area. I, too, want to thank Representative Swiecinski for introducing this bill and providing parity between the treatment of townships and the other road authorities with regards to the sales tax on our road maintenance, licensed road maintenance equipment. As has already been indicated, this is an additional expense that we have to pay despite the fact that we were exempted from the general sales tax 2 years ago. Because the motor vehicle sales tax is a legally separate tax, we continue to be subject to that tax on these purchases and would certainly appreciate the benefits of the exemption. That'll conclude. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Is there anyone else who would like to testify in favor of or opposed to this bill? Representative Petersburg has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have a question. Maybe Mr. Burris or somebody else could do it. Currently, the vehicles that we're talking about, especially trucks and others that are on the road that would have a license plate on them, are they tax-exempt status in regards to license plates?
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg. I'm sorry, I'm not sure I'm following the question.
Representative Petersburg.
Well, when you get license tabs, I know that nonprofits pay much lower price and stuff for getting your replacement tabs and licenses and so forth. And my I thought I was understanding that counties and others that have these and have license plates on them are getting those without tab fees. Is that correct or not?
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, yeah, there is a tax-exempt status for some types of vehicles. I'd have to go take a quick look here at who that applies to.
Follow-up, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. That just kind of leads to my follow-up, that I think since we've already determined that these are tax-exempt vehicles or whatever, if they are, it would make sense that they should also be excluded from sales tax as well. So I'm just putting the case out for the reason why I think this makes sense.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Rosenthal has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative or whoever wants to answer this. I'm sympathetic to this bill, but do you know how much it will cost? Is there a fiscal note with it?
Representative Swiecinski.
Yes, Chair Torkelson, Representative. When we moved the bill through last year, I think we have not gotten an updated one yet from revenue, but I believe we're in the $3 to $4 million range.
Representative Swiecinski, I believe Mr. Lee may have some information for us.
Mr. Chair and members, as you know, the Department of Revenue does not prepare revenue notes for committees other than the Taxes Committee. So, unfortunately, I do not at this time have a revenue note prepared for this particular bill. However, I should just mention that if this were to be enacted, the impact to state funds would be from the motor vehicle sales tax, and that's distributed 60% to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund and 40% to the Transit Assistance Fund. So, for example, if about 1% of vehicle sales were associated with local governments, that would equate to roughly $7.4 million in revenue lost to the motor vehicle sales tax, which would be split about $4.4 million to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund and about $3 million to the Transit Assistance Fund. So that's just a rough estimate, 1%, but I think between 1% and 3% would probably be pretty close.
So, Mr. Lee, when this gets to the Tax Committee, that information will be made available?
Mr. Chair, members, that's correct.
That's correct. So stay tuned to the Tax Committee. Representative Johnson.
Johnson?
Bill? Yeah. Johnson, okay, yes, that's you, Representative Johnson. You are Representative
Chair.
Johnson.
I would like to ask a legal Minnesota Cities or one of the representatives from one of the cities, after learning that information about the impact on the greater Minnesota Transit, is this a matter of robbing Peter to pay Paul? And then what's the meaning for this for transit in rural Minnesota?
At least you got those in the right order, Representative Johnson. Thank you for that. The All Paul Caucus is in favor of paying Paul. So, Mr. Carlson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, our position that was adopted by our League of Cities understands where the money would go to, and yet our cities did choose to support this, very strongly support the exemption. So it's a small amount of money out of those funds, but it's a big amount of money for any city that's purchasing a road construction, snowplow, or a dump truck type vehicle. So we would rather keep the money locally initially rather than pay the sales tax up front and have it go into the state funds.
Representative Hausman has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the question is for you. On the previous bill, when it was sent to Ways and Means,
yes.
My question about this, now that I hear this discussion, you know, might this one be sent to taxes? At a certain point, every bill affects another part of the transportation budget. I would assume at some point they all have to come together again in a single approach to figure out, are we fair to everybody in the whole state by all of these pieces?
Yes, Representative Hausman, I believe that virtually all these bills will be coming back to us, or at least the issue has been before us so that they can be it can be considered in our transportation omnibus bill that I anticipate having out of this committee in a timely fashion on the 24th of March.
Mr. Chair, then, so in other words, nothing travels alone. None of these are traveling alone.
I'm not sure what
floor.
Right. That's, well, I can't guarantee that, but that's my intention that they be available for a omnibus bill. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, to Representative Hausman, I mean, this would be considered a road maintenance vehicle bill.
Representative Runbeck has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And of Mr. Carlson, I wanted to just, I know the letter says and mentions fire trucks, but did we clear up the glitch, the oversight, that a JPA can purchase with the exemption of fire truck? I think that was still outside of what was happening.
Madam Chair, Mr. Representative Runbeck, are you referring to the general sales tax exemption that was enacted in 2013? Because we have cleared up the JPA exemption as of January 1st of this year, and that was done in the tax bill.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. I do not see any other questions. I would just ask for some last remarks, Representative Swazinski, but don't try to be funnier than the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think I had much success with that last one, so I'm going to leave it at that. Appreciate the opportunity to come before you, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 479 be referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign.
No.
Goes passed. Next, then, Representative Swazinski, we have another bill of yours, House File 460. I will move House File 460, which will also be referred to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do believe we have the A1 amendment that kind of gets it in the shape that we'd appreciate, and we can move that forward.
You bet. I'd be happy to move the A1 amendment to House File 460 to get the bill in the shape the author would like. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. The bill is amended. Go ahead, Representative Kuczynski.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Before you is House File 460, which just appropriates dollars from the general fund that are currently being taxed for the short-term rental tax, essentially rental vehicle, short-term lease, which generates between $25 and $26 million per year. It simply places that out of the general fund and puts it into the previously discussed quarters of commerce program. That's the bill.
Thank you. I do not see any questions at this point. Anyone care to testify in favor of or opposed to House File 460? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 460 be passed as amended and referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
No.
The bill is passed. Thank you, Representative Swazinski, for visiting our committee.
Thank you.
is Representative, Representative Lewick. There he is. Thank you. We will now move on to House File 502. Representative Lewick, I will move that House File 2 be passed and referred to the Tax Committee. Please go ahead and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, I would like you to consider an amendment we have there to put it, I believe it's the 825 amendment.
Thank you, Representative. I'm moving so fast, I'm getting ahead of myself. There is an A1 amendment to, no, I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's the A17 amendment to House File 502 to get the bill in the shape the author would like. All those in favor of the A17 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed by the same sign. Thank you. The bill is amended. Representative, go ahead with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, members. This bill would seek to bring money to this committee to put into the highway user fund. And the way it would do that is it would sweep the current sales tax on motor vehicle tires, repair parts, those things that we need to operate both trucks and cars. We propose here would be to phase that in over a three-year process. So we would, each year we'd take a third and then add a third until we were taking 100% of those sales taxes that we do already collect and put them directly into the highway user fund and be distributed accordingly. We do this with some other smaller amounts of money, other taxes. For example, actually kind of in reverse, we take out motor fuel tax and we send it over for ATV trails and stuff like this. So this is taking tax money and sending it in a different direction. I don't have I've got a revenue note that says basically when we get to the tax committee, they'll give me a revenue note. This would be a substantial amount of money. I will just simply say that, and that's one of the reasons that we wouldn't want to do this in one fell swoop. We'd likely want to phase it in over time. With that, I'd certainly be willing to do my best to answer questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who would like to testify in favor of or opposed to this bill? We'll finish testimony, then we'll get to your questions. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bentley Graves. I'm the Director of Healthcare and Transportation Policy at the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I want to thank Representative Luke for bringing this bill forward. As members around the Ross and Mayo, the Chamber has for several years now supported the idea of Minnesota joining the majority of other states and drawing from the general fund to help support our state roads and bridges. About 34 states around the country use their general fund revenues to help support their state roads and bridges. Minnesota doesn't. We rely for our state system completely on the constitutionally dedicated revenue sources of the fuel tax, the motor vehicle sales tax, and registration tab fees. You know, our members for some time have suggested that we ought to, in Minnesota, start to diversify our funding sources that support our state system, broaden the basis of financial support for it, and in doing so, use the general fund. And early on in those conversations, there was some concern amongst policymakers and others about just a kind of a blank check draw from the general fund to help support our transportation system. And so Representative Lewick, Representative Howe, and others stepped forward and suggested that we instead identify those transportation related dollars that are already going into the general fund and instead repurpose those to support the transportation system with something that we fully support. Not only is this, we believe in our view, something that can and should be part of a politically viable solution to help bring about long-term transportation funding bill, but it also brings in a new revenue stream into the transportation funding system that will grow over time, which, from all of your presentations from MnDOT and its long-term cost estimates, we know that that's an important factor that needs to be considered. So I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I just wanted to come down and say that this is something that we strongly support. Again, we appreciate you bringing this forward. And I have my colleague here, from the Associate General Contractors, that I think can offer a few additional comments about some of the work we've done together in a broader coalition around this and other pieces of a larger transportation funding package.
Thank you, Mr. Graves. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Abby Breidach. I'm with the Associated General Contractors of Minnesota. And we, myself along with Bentley Graves, also the a few of the trade unions, the 49ers, the Carpenters, Laborers, Carpenters, 49ers, and the Business Partnership, have had an opportunity to visit with many of you, and if we haven't met with you yet, we will be meeting with you to talk about ideas like this, taking transportation-related funding from the general fund and diverting them to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. These comments would also go the same for Representative Howe's bill. You may be surprised to see some of these groups who are usually very strong advocates of the gas tax to be promoting this sort of a funding solution. But I would say from our perspective, who have been gas tax advocates in the past, that this is a practical solution. We haven't been able to find success with increasing the flat gas tax and pushing up toward a decade now. And so members, our members, the people who work for our members are concerned about the viability of our funding sources moving forward. And so we're looking for, well, if one thing's not possible, what can we do? And I think there are some benefits looking at some of these other sources. In fact, as Mr. Graves mentioned, if someday we are able to maybe constitutionally dedicate this tax, this revenue stream, it grows with time automatically, unlike our gas tax, which does not keep up with inflation. And so it could provide some benefits well into the future. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would care to testify to the bill?
I have a question for Mr. Graves before he leaves.
We'll get to questions here in a moment. Did you have another comment, Mr. Graves?
No.
First, I have Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lewick, while I understand we want to grow and get more money into the Highway Users Fund, this is, again, we're robbing Paul here to play Peter in this situation. And, you know, are we going to go to the next? I mean, I know we're not the Education Committee, but are we going to get the Education Committee to dedicate the sale of pencils and notebooks to the school funding and all of that? It's a matter of, this is not new money. This is money that's already there being used in other sources and for other purposes of the state that are valid purposes. So we're putting the school districts, and we're putting our nursing homes, and we're putting our prisons, and we're putting all the things that we do as a state government at competition with roads. And I know we need to get more money in the transportation funding, but to be stealing it from somebody else, I'm going to pull my pen, stealing it from somebody else and to give it to us, in my time here in the legislature, we've actually, on the Transportation Committee, have been trying to fight having other groups, when we see our dedicated funding when we're in times of shortfall, wanting to find ways that they can weasel money and steal money out of the Highway User Trust Fund that's constitutionally dedicated there and use it to pay for other parts of government. We're doing the opposite, and if we're to open this door, when next time we have a deficit, this money will end up going back, and they may try to find ways to take more of that money back to fund other parts of government. So I find this very troubling. And again, I know we want to get more money into transportation funding, but this is, like, again, we're just shifting money around. There's no new money in any of these bills that I see here. It's just taking money for this part and putting it to this project over here that I like better, instead of doing it with the, and I know the gas tax is hard to get past, but doing with a funding source that is constantly dedicated to the roads and can't be taken away from that. So I have problems with this bill and with all the bills that have been on the committee today.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. I did not hear a question in there. Next, I have Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I share a lot of the concerns Representative Nelson put forward. But in the conversations we've had about your proposal, and I know that this dedicating the general, this tax to the from the general fund to transportation is one component. Another component, as I recall, had to do with license tab fees. And so what is the how much of the license what kind of license tab fee increase are you considering, and what would the amount of that be?
Mr. Graves.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hornstein, thanks for the question. So I think you were referencing kind of the proposal that we've kind of put forward as business labor.
You referenced it earlier, yes.
So you're right, it does certainly include this particular piece. But knowing what we know, particularly from the last couple of years of kind of political gridlock around this issue, we together sat down and tried to figure out, what sort of politically viable package could be brought forward to the legislature, at least as a recommendation that both business and labor could get behind. And certainly there are elements of that that are important to us in the business community, that being, the use of the general fund. But there are other elements that are particularly important to our friends in labor and in the industry, that being, some source of constitutionally dedicated dollars. So what we kind of came to as a group and individually was support around this, as well as support for some change in the tab fee depreciation schedule. And I think generally what we look to is kind of the developing consensus that seemed to be present around the very end of the last session about going into that tab fee depreciation schedule and slowing it down some to increase revenues that way. We think that's a good way to bring in those constitutionally dedicated dollars, and allows us to kind of, again, bring a recommendation to the legislature that is balanced.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next, I have Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up on the points that Representative Nelson was making, and specifically talk to Mr. Graves about that. Do you understand that dilemma on the previous bill, on this one and others, that there are seven streams of funding going to transportation? Because that's not enough and we can't adjust them, we're going to go after the general fund. But that means, the way we look at the budget, that means you're taking it from education and health care. And I don't know if that's something that is clear to you in our frustration here. That's how we're seeing this, and how might you feel about that,
Mr. Graves?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I think I understand that concern. I think, though, I'll just speak from my membership's perspective. Our membership has frankly a different perspective on that. Our membership looks at a state budget that is producing year over year surpluses at the moment. With spending increases across, across the state budget already built in, and at a time when we have historic reserves, and transportation is important to the business community. There's no question about that. And when we've gone to our members and said, this is the situation that the state is facing with regard to transportation funding. Here's the menu of options that folks up in the legislature have proposed to help address that. Which of these should we as a business community pursue? The response has been very clear that the general fund ought to be a part of this equation. Again, it's something that a majority of other states do to varying degrees. I understand that. But the amount of funding that we're talking here, I think is somewhere in the realm of 1% of the state's budget. And for something that is extremely important to the business community, that is a core function of the state government, our members have said that is something that ought to be reflected in the priorities of the state as reflected in the budget.
So, Mr. Chair, if I could take that one step further then. Presumably our tax system is what is at least in part a reason why we have a, quote, surplus. If we start spending it on transportation, presumably that is not going to be available for tax cuts, which might be part of the conversation later. Would that also be an issue that you've raised?
Mr. Graves.
Mr. Chair, Representative, you're correct to point out that as the state's largest business organization, we bring a lot of proposals to the legislature on a range of issues, from health care to transportation to taxes to education. And we do our best to make sure that the recommendations and the suggestions that we're bringing forward are both responsible from a policy perspective but also responsible from a budgetary perspective. And I think what you will see across all of our proposals, this included, is a responsible approach, and I think particularly in looking at this with an eye towards the suggestion that Representative Lewick has made in his bill to kind of phase this in over time. You know, from our perspective, that's something that, you know, could be phased in over a longer period of time as well. I think if my colleague Beth Cadoon were here to talk about our tax policies, you would find similar flexibility in those policies. So I don't know if that exactly answers the question, but I, you know, that's certainly the approach we've tried to take.
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a statement for the author and then maybe a question for the chamber representative. You know, when you said this this phase-in softens the effect of this negative cash flow for the general fund, reminded me of a old song there. I think it's called Killing Me Softly with this bill. But just sharing that with you today. But to the chamber representative, you know, we're obviously looking at some cuts should this be should this bill come to pass, and I'm just wondering if you know, to share with the pain, sharing the pain, if the chamber would be acceptable to cuts in local government aid for cities.
Mr. Graves.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative, at the time that we have a budget surplus, I don't know that that's necessary.
Representative Sundin, a follow-up.
Well, I think we need this guy's expertise because we're obviously floundering as a legislature.
Representative Sundin, you know, there's quite a few younger people in the room that may not have heard that particular song that you mentioned. Would you like to sing a few bars? So,
please. I would love to, but Mr. Chair, you don't want to hear it.
Next, I have Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I think we've heard a lot of fairly inflammatory words around here today. I've heard rob, steal, take from. And I think one of the things that we can be assured of is that as a legislature, we do take from our constituents, our voters out there, their taxes. We are taking from them. And I'm hearing from a lot of people that say, please, you've taken enough. And so therefore, what we're really doing here is talking about how we prioritize the funds that we have for our, from the taxpayers out there. And we certainly can have different opinions on how we prioritize, and that's certainly well worth us discussing that. But my question to you, Representative Lewick, is does this bill steal any dollars from any other group, or is it just reprioritizing some of the funds and have an opportunity for us to develop other options?
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Certainly we're not in the business of stealing, I would hope. We have to make priority decisions every year as a legislature. Obviously, this is a budget year. This takes dollars which currently are in excess in the general fund, and it would put them in the user highway user fund. And to go back, just go back and review the bidding here. We can play LGA against LGU, against public safety, against mental health, against nursing homes, against tax cuts, against schools, and the list is endless. Absolutely endless. We can play all those against each other. I think a lot higher of everybody here, both sides of the aisle, that we're interested in making the tough decisions and find the right mix of how we'd spend our money. So I hope that answers your question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson, do you have something new to bring to the conversation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would, Mr. Graves' question that Representative Hausman asked somewhat what I was thinking when I raised my hand, but I'd like to ask Mr. Graves straight out. I mean, we're talking about prioritizing where we spend our money, and a lot of groups have come forward to us. You know, they see what's perceived surplus that's there, and they all want part of it, and if we gave everybody that want part of it, we wouldn't have that surplus, and we'd spend it about 100 times over with all our requests. So, Mr. Graves, I'm going to ask you flat out. If it comes down to doing this with the surplus money and putting it to transportation or getting a tax cut for all the businesses that are members of the chamber, where is your priority, and which one do you want us to come down on?
Mr. Graves, are you writing legislation today?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I'm not. I guess I would answer that question by saying that, you know, our policy proposals and priorities for the legislative session are clear, and that's both tax relief and a transportation bill. You know, we believe that both are doable in the current fiscal environment.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lewick, you talked about playing one side against another. In essence, this is kind of what we do in the legislature. I was curious, have you spoken with the school districts in your legislative district, and do they support this proposal?
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Clark. I haven't specifically asked them about this. I do hear from them complaining bitterly over the condition of our roads out there, particularly our trunk highways. You know, we've got a lot of bus miles where I live, that's one of the things that they mentioned, that falling behind on our transportation system has a direct impact on their bottom line. That's what I'm hearing about roads from my school districts. And I've got four complete school districts, all of them rural, with hundreds and hundreds of buses in my district. Plus, I've got half of the Brainerd School District, which is much bigger.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I hear the same from my school districts. We've got school buses on Highway 14. Can you imagine that? And there's a lot of extra fear associated with that. But do you think those school districts would prefer that the money come from the general fund to improve those roads, or that it would come from new money dedicated to building roads and bridges?
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, my school superintendents and school boards are focused on what they need relative to do the best job they can for educating our kids. And frankly, they literally don't have the time to try to second guess how we're going to provide that money. They are just asking a good fair shake for education. This is Transportation Committee, right? Not education. They're asking for a good fair shake on funding their needs across the state of Minnesota. So, you know, that's just not in their wheelhouse to be trying to second guess how we're going to get that money. The important thing is that we take care of education as well as transportation.
Thank you. I have no other questions on the list. Representative Lewick, would you care to wrap up your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just would want to put a plug in for Representative Howe's bill, which I believe is coming up here shortly. And with that, I really thank you for the great discussion. We get to make some hard decisions here together, don't we, folks? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lewick. I think Representative Howe can take care of himself. With that, I renew my motion that House File 502 be referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign.
No.
The bill is passed. Next, we will go on to House File 638, Representative Howe. With that, I will move House File 638 to be passed and referred to the Tax Committee. Representative Howe, go ahead and introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you liked that last bill, you're going to love this one. And if you didn't like that, you'll probably hate this one a little more. 638 does a similar thing, only it broadens the scope. And instead of just tires, it takes in all automotive parts that are related to the automotive industry and maintaining your vehicles. And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the amendment A170048 to get it in the shape that I would like.
Thank you, Representative Howe. Representative Howe moves the A-17 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Thank you. Representative Howe, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what this bill does is, I think most of us have heard it before, but for the folks that aren't familiar with it, what it does is it captures the automotive-related sales tax on automotive-related parts and dedicates them to the Highway Transportation User Fund. So basically, it does what we just heard, only on an expanded frame, and collects a little bit more and takes that general fund and puts it in there. We're one of 15 states or 16 states, whatever it is, that does not use any of our general fund for our transportation system. So this is a way to get to that. And as you've heard, it expands along with as our parts, our automotive parts increases and gets more expensive, this will increase along with that. I also, if you like this, I also have another bill to constitutionally dedicate that. I'm hoping that'll get heard this year. So that's it in a nutshell. If they have any questions, I'd feel free to answer those.
Thank you. We don't have a lot of rules around here, Representative Howe, but we do take one bill at a time. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I actually got another one I'd like to discuss with you.
I understand. We have a question from Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if this is for the author or maybe Mr. Burris, but Representative Howe, you may have missed some here. I'm looking at the existing language on page 3 of the bill. We've got money going into the Minnesota Zoological Garden and Como Park Zoo and Conservatory and the Duluth Zoo, and deposited in the Natural Resources Fund used on local trail grants. That'd be better spent on the roads and bridges, Representative Paul. Mr. Burris, is that current dedication similar to what Representative Howe is doing in his bill?
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski, yes, this entire section, you see a lot of the existing language that's not underlined is current law. And these are various allocations out of the general sales tax revenue. So the new provision would be a new allocation from that revenue stream.
I'll follow up, Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you, Mr. Burris. So it does appear that this has been done before, and these decisions have been made before, and we have a new legislature and time marches on, and I might be coming forward with an amendment, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to quote Mr. Graves, who said that this can be part of the solution with respect to the last bill, and I don't know how many members know on this committee, but I've spent the last year and a half actually acknowledging that at home. And really kind of working from the standpoint that there's kind of an agreement that we're short $600 million a year. And also understanding that we have two parties and a Democrat governor and a Republican legislature, and et cetera, et cetera. And understanding that there has to be a compromise. And therein, I think, is part of the compromise. And though I'm consistently voting no today, it's because I'm voting no because it's the context. We're losing context for this. We need to really assure that we can find the funding for the full $600 million. And I'm willing, and I'm publicly willing, to use the general fund for half of that. Okay, and I've said that for a year and a half, and I shall stand by that. But we also have to do it responsibly and get the other half of that funding through new dedicated revenue that comes from perhaps a gas tax increase, but constitutionally dedicated revenue that's not coming out of the general fund, that is not taking money potentially away from schools, personal care attendants, how about security counselors at the Minnesota Security Hospital, goes on and on. And that's a tough compromise for me to achieve because, as it's pretty clear, I don't prefer that part of it. But so my question for you, Representative Howe, and I save this for you because I've really enjoyed working with you on this committee for the last 4 years, and I think you're an open-minded guy. Are you willing to join with me to make sure that new dedicated revenue for that other $300 million will also be part of this package to make that combination so we really address the full $600 million that's needed, taking from the general fund, but also generating new revenue? I invite you along on that. Are you willing to come along?
Representative Howe, thanks for putting me in a nice, difficult position. But, yeah, I'm willing to go down that road. I mean, we've been trying to figure this out for the last 4 years and plus to figure this out. Now, what that combination is and what that looks like, I think we're all scratching our head and have been trying to come up with the answer to that puzzle as we go forward. But I'm always open to look at new ideas. I mean, hopefully I don't have to do what I was doing to come up with this idea, because I don't wrenching on my old 20-year-old Suburban, I don't relish doing that much anymore. But, yeah, if we can come up with another way to fix that funding source, I'm I think we deserve it to the taxpayers to do that.
Follow up very quickly, Representative Johnson.
Yeah, and then quickly, Representative Howe, I hope we have that opportunity. I hope I can vote for a bill that represents that compromise that, in the broad scope of things, would generate $300 million in new constitutionally dedicated revenue for roads and bridges, and then do something such as this to achieve the $600 million. Thanks for your comments.
I have no one else on the list. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Salk. I didn't catch
that. I'm sorry. I'm drawn to chime in on this. It would probably be the only thing I said in my campaign that I would affirmatively try to do, and that is to engender agreements toward big solutions. And I think that I want you to know that more than Mr. Johnson's commitment, you have my commitment, that I would be full in, and my community, door to door, really expected that of its legislative efforts last year. They didn't feel like they got it. I know that there was more than that done, and I know there was much more effort than that, but they didn't feel like they got it, and they weren't able to account it the way they thought they should be able to. But I'd be all in, and I would be a completely strong advocate for those kinds of solutions.
Thank you, Representative Salk. I did not hear a question in that. With that, I renew my motion that House File 638 be referred to the Tax Committee as amended. Did we amend this one?
Yes.
Thank you. As amended. All those in favor of that signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
It's passed. Representative Kosnick, House File 901. Welcome, Representative Kosnick. Would you care to make the motion on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move House File 7-1 for possible inclusion.
Actually, I've got it down as being referred to the Tax Committee, Representative Kosnick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. You are correct, sir.
Is that your motion?
That is my motion.
Go ahead with then present your bill.
Members in committee, this is a file that we had last year as well as that was included in the broader House position. And it's the motor vehicle lease tax. Currently, the revenue generated from the motor vehicle lease tax, half of it goes to metro counties, and the other half is spent with Greater Minnesota in their transit program. Exempting the first $32 million is the current law. So what this bill does is include the first $32 million, all the revenue that's generated by the motor vehicle lease tax, into that 50-50 distribution split. And I believe I have a couple testifiers.
You do.
Chair.
I'll please bring them forward. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Sherry Mennion, and I'm here today representing the Minnesota Public Transit Association. The association represents bus providers all across the state, and we're speaking now on behalf of Greater Minnesota Public Transit and their funding needs. The large urban systems in Greater Minnesota have the same pressures to meet ADA mandates from the federal government as the metropolitan area. And as you heard in previous testimony, with the aging population, those needs are growing. And together with the Olmsted Plan, which will result in more service being provided in the rural areas, again, there's increasing demand for funds. As we look at expanding service for that and the normal statutory guidelines within Greater Minnesota, we are seeking the 50% of revenues in the lease vehicle tax that is sitting in the general fund. This is in keeping with the current practice. It was included in the transportation bill last year and is important. When we look forward, although there is some revenue available today, there'll be quite a precipitous drop-off in the future in terms of being able to keep up with the funding. So both to assist with the capital needs in Greater Minnesota as well with the operational needs we strongly support this. And I would add one more point. One of the reasons we're so enamored with this proposal is when the MVEST distribution took place, there wasn't an equitable distribution for Greater Minnesota Transit Systems. That pot of money was 36% for the seven-county metro area, 4% for Greater Minnesota. So this has made a significant difference for citizens living outside the metro area, and we hope you'll continue that.
Well, thank you, Ms. Munyon. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Keith Carlson. I'm Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association, again, consisting of 10 Greater Minnesota Regional Center counties and four ring counties here in the metropolitan area. I want to thank Representative Kosnick as well for introducing this bill. It addresses both the needs of Greater Minnesota Transit that serves the residents of our member counties in Greater Minnesota, as well as the suburban counties for their road and bridge needs. I'm not going to go into great detail as to the rationale or history for this. I'll leave it at that I have had distributed maps that show the current distribution of the county state aid monies, which are 29 cents of every dollar collected for gas taxes, motor vehicle registration, and 60% of the sales tax. It's very disparate. The smaller Minnesota counties receive as much as 21 times what some of our members do with regard on a per capita basis, and 30 times what our Metro County members do on a miles traveled basis. So there are many different facets of that formula that go to address the needs of individual counties, and frankly, the lease motor vehicle sales tax distribution is one of those. This is distributed by MnDOT as part of the CASA distribution, and it just very partially offsets the substantial disparity. It also addresses the issues that exist within the metro area that failed to be addressed in the 2008 bill, when what was originally a half-cent sales tax, a one-half available for roads and one-half available for transit, ended up just being the one-half or the quarter-cent for transit. The road part of it was left unaddressed, and this basically somewhat makes up for that loss. With that, I'll conclude. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would care to testify in favor of or opposed to this bill? Representative Hornstein has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I remember, a couple bienniums ago, there was a big dust up on this. And it seemed like there was particular tensions between Dakota County in particular and Greater Minnesota Transit interests. It seems like that's all worked out now.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Representative Munyon. Hornstein, yes, we've been working together with Representative Kosnick, and we have reached a mutually agreeable solution.
Representative Hornstein.
That's great, because that will be very helpful to you, Mr. Chairman.
I need all the help I can get.
And what's that? Okay. But at one time, I think there was some concern that, it wasn't a concern of mine, but there was some concern that there was a temporary bump in the Greater Minnesota Transit allocation. I don't exactly remember. There was a formula that folks thought was unfair. Has that also been worked out? I think at some point they were thinking that Greater Minnesota Transit had a little bit of a surplus. Is your funding stabilized in that regard for Greater Minnesota Transit?
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hornstein, in doing research for the bill, I have kind of looked over the history of the bill and the allocations. And so what this bill does is kind of bring the original intent of the 2008 agreement, full figure plus add additional money that we've just spent the afternoon talking about. How do we adequately fund our roads? And this brings us a little bit more whole towards that. But in the history of the distributions and some different funding years that had some challenges, Greater Minnesota may have received some additional general fund monies outside of this particular program, but What I like about this bill, and I think you should too, is that it honors the original 2008 intent of the bill and also includes the original, the full amount that the new tax provides towards transportation and transit.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see no other questions. Any final comments, Representative Kosnick?
I appreciate the committee's time and consideration. Thank you.
Would you like to renew your motion?
I do renew, Mr. Chair, renew that motion to have House File 901 sent to the Tax Committee.
Thank you. All those in favor of that signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The bill is passed and moving on. Thank you. Representative Green. Have before us House File 963. I will move that House File 963 be referred from this committee to the Committee on Taxes. Representative Green, go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. House File 963 is a simple bill. It's a small bill, but I think it's an important bill. For many years, even when I was serving on the town board, it always was a curiosity to me why we were requiring the Department of Transportation to pay sales tax on the equipment that they buy, and because all we're really doing is taking desperately needed transportation funds, putting them into the general fund. And so what 963 does is it puts in law that the Department of Transportation does not have to pay sales tax on the equipment and products that they buy. And I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Green. Anyone who would care to testify or in favor of or opposed to House File, I lost my number, 963, thank you. I have no questions at this point. Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Green, would you be willing to make any kind of a guess as to what construction costs for roads would decrease by if this were to go through? I mean, it was...
Mr. Chair and Representative Runbeck, I'm not really sure I follow you. Will, I can tell you that the fiscal note on the bill will be a savings of $7,500 to the Department of Transportation, and also I will tell you that it's only going to affect the general fund by $7.5 million per year.
Thank you.
Looking at the numbers here, $7.5 million a year will be a savings for the trunk highway funds, but it's only going to take $7.1 million out of the general fund because of the administration costs. So besides the fact that we're leaving the $7.5 million in the transportation, we're also saving $400,000, which I assume is administration costs. No? Well, maybe we can get some help here.
I think we could probably use a little clarification here.
Yes, really. Mr. Chair and members, if you look at the fiscal note for House File 963, you'll notice that the savings to the Trunk Highway Fund that results from MnDOT not having to pay the state sales tax is $7.5 million, but the expense to the general fund is $7.1 million. The $400,000 difference is the estimated cost of being exempted from the legacy and local sales taxes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Lee. A follow-up, Representative Runbeck?
Well, yeah, I think the fiscal note sort of speaks for itself. I mean, it's maybe a lot of administrative effort for not too much gain, possibly.
Thank you. Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the author. I'm reading in the research brief here that this applies through for the purchases made by the contractor, subcontractor, builder on road projects. And I've got probably close to 40-year history with contractors in the construction industry, and not all of them are 100% honest. And if I were one of those contractors that wasn't 100% honest, I'd be billing out or moving materials or equipment from a state job over to a private job that I'm working on is in conjunction, you know. So I'm just wondering what's preventing these contractors from purchasing equipment, supplies, and then keeping them just on state jobs, you know, after we've given them an exemption.
Representative Green.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Sundin. I guess you're asking me to speculate on whether or not someone's going to be honest or not. I don't think I can do that. I would have to believe that, I'd like to believe that most of them are honest, and I also believe that many of them are audited. And at the end of the year, when they do their books, if anything were to come out, I'm sure we would gain that back and more.
Representative Grazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Green, what does your bill then offset? So the department is then going to have $7.5 million less in expenses. Of course, we know what bureaucracies do with that freed up money then in their budget as they hire more people or do more recreational spending. Do you have you placed in the bill, or have you thought about maybe decreasing the department's overhead or administrative part of their budget going forward?
Representative Green.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskowski, no, that didn't really occur to me. We look into transportation all the time, and it seems to me that we're not ever overly flush, and we're always looking for money for more projects, and I believe that the list of projects that is waiting to be done far exceeds the amount that's in there. I would have to say that I was hoping or believing that when if there was an extra $7.5 million, that it would go to road projects.
So follow up, Representative Grazkowski.
So, Mr. Chair, maybe the question is for Mr. Lee. Do these taxes get paid from road construction dollars, from the special funds, or do they get paid from the agency's administrative funds through general fund dollars?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Grazkowski, currently the MnDOT, when it purchases vehicles or equipment, would pay out of the trunk highway fund to the state and local taxes. So it's an expense out of the trunk highway fund. So in this bill proposal, should it get enacted, they would estimate that 7.5 in savings in trunk highway expenditures for not having to pay the state general sales tax, legacy tax, and local taxes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
And Mr.
Grazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Lee. And it does sound, Representative Green, like he might be on the right track than actually freeing up money for road construction. My predispositions about government growth just continue to pop up everywhere I go. Thank you.
Representative Sundin, you had another question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up my earlier thought, I'm just wondering if Mr. Lee could let us know just exactly how much money is spent through the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Lee. While he's looking that up, I'm going to go to Representative Baker for another question.
Mr. Chair, actually this is a question also for Mr. Lee, and maybe he can answer this while he's doing that as well.
I'm sure he can multitask. I just
and I might have a really easy answer because what I've learned around here in the short time that I've been here is when an agency touches money, they take a piece of it and they call it administration. And one agency collects the sales tax, one agency pays the sales tax, I want to know, is a part of that that will be transferred over, or some of that is the sales tax that they're collecting or paying and transferring over, is it kept apart? Is any part of that sales tax collected and put into, I suppose, the trunk highway fund and was transferred over? Is any part of that sales tax kept back for administration to write checks out like I've seen other agencies do when they handle something with money? Just, does that make any sense?
Mr. Lee. Mr. Chair and Representative Baker, I believe that the amount that MnDOT is paying in sales tax to the state and local units of government, I don't believe that there's any specific set aside for that revenue. I'll have to double check, but I believe they're just paying the general sales tax as they're required to do in law. And to go back to the Representative Sundin's question, MnDOT's annual trunk highway appropriation is $1.57 billion for fiscal 2017.
Thank you. One more, Representative Sundin.
Just to follow up on that, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if Mr. Lee can answer this or someone in the room may be able to help. How many investigators are there within the department that track fraud or contract enforcement?
Mr. Chair and Representative Sundin, I believe that question would be best directed at to MnDOT.
Do we have anyone from MnDOT who would care to reveal their number of investigators, or is that like a state secret?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking forward to finding out, you know, who's watching the hen house on this.
All right. We'll ask them to bring that information forward at another time. With that, I don't have any more questions on the list. Representative Green, I will renew my motion that House File 963 be referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, the bill is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
We have one more bill before us, members. Representative Anderson is on her way here. That is House File 257. And as soon as she arrives, we will dive into that bill. I would just like to thank you all today for moving through these bills quickly. I do personally appreciate it. It's very helpful, and it saves us having to have an extra meeting. Remind members that we are meeting tomorrow at 10:15. This is a special time for us. I realize not all members can be present because they may have other committees that interfere. We are not taking any action tomorrow. These are informational hearings, but it does clear our workload, and I appreciate your being here if you possibly can. And so we will convene that meeting at 10:15, and we'll be in this room at our regular spot.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You're the second author. We could start. It seems like a relatively innocuous bill that we could get started, unless you want to hold it for her.
I have the greatest respect for Representative Anderson, and if she's on her way, I'm willing to wait a minute. Representative Miller.
Mr. Chair, perhaps while we're waiting, you could entertain us with maybe a joke or a story or something.
I already tried to get Representative Sundin to sing to us, and he refused. And so I think I'll pass on that. Now, perhaps, Representative Miller, you have a story you'd like to tell us.
Mr. Chair, you never give me permission to speak in committee. You know that, right?
I think I'll just...
I could burn up another 20 minutes if you want.
You know,
I'm just kidding.
I think we'll just relax.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm. Oh,
I'm sure if she sees your face, then she will mark you as being.
Members, I've just been informed by our able staff that Representative Anderson is unable to be with us today, so that bill has been pulled from our agenda. With that, we have no other business before us, and this meeting is adjourned.